reading from the first letter of John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us in letting us be called children of God. Yet, that, in fact, is what we are. The reason the world does not recognize us is that it never recognized the Son. Dearly beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall later be has not yet come to light. We know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him keeps himself pure as he is pure. In Christian preaching, there is a tendency to downplay Halloween and to play up All Saints' Day. Of course, the liturgical calendar gives All Saints' Day the highest rating, making it a solemnity. Well, it doesn't recognize Halloween at all. But in point of time, what has become Halloween came first. The ancient Celts, ancestors of the Irish, Scotch, and Welsh among us, celebrated their New Year's Eve at this time with legends of the dead walking the earth before the dawn of the next year. Our current fascination with zombies has a long history. In fact, this fascination with the undead lingering on among new converts was what led Pope Boniface IV to move an already existing observance of those who died in times of Roman persecution to November 1st. It was like moving the celebration of the Nativity of Christ to December 25th to counter pagan celebrations of the solstice. The idea was to change to substitute Christian celebration of what is holy in God's sight for curiosity about the dead that lies outside Christian belief. Catholics have always had a firm belief in the promise of eternal life, illustrated in the lives of those whom the Church recognizes as saints. The Feast of All Saints professes that the belief extends beyond the relatively few officially recognized by the Church. The following day, All Souls demonstrates our trust that even after death, there is an opportunity to complete the soul's journey to union with God. For many people, I think, Halloween is something like Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday. Then it seems that some eat, drink, and carouse so that the hangover, nausea, and shame on Wednesday morning will make them feel like doing penance. Could it be that Halloween's confrontation with the ugly, disfigured, and frightening makes us more ready to appreciate the beauty and attraction of sanctity? Why should we need such an incentive? You have to admit that Jesus' description in today's gospel of what will bring real happiness isn't that attractive to the contemporary mind. He starts his prescription for beatitude with poverty, mourning, meekness, hunger, and thirst. He concludes with persecution and insult. In between these, he does sandwich mercy, single-heartedness, and peacemaking. But with such a description of holiness, perhaps we need to be scared into sanctity. If that were true, however, why have attempts from the pulpit in past ages to scare people into heaven met with such little success. If we do need an incentive to follow Jesus' recommendations for a holy and happy life, we find it in today's first reading from the first letter of John. Dearly beloved, we know that when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him keeps himself pure, for as he is pure. Our true incentive to live Jesus' Beatitudes is that we are God's children now, not in just in some future life. Poverty, suffering, martyrdom, and all the rest that comes with his kind of blessedness is no sign of God's anger. Rather, they are assurances that we are one with God's only begotten Son, beloved by the Father, with hope for eternal joy.